Chapter 14, The Gospel Goes to the Gentiles. In his ministry at Lydda, Peter healed Aeneas, who for 8 years had been confined to his bed with palsy. "Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole," the apostle said, "arise, and make thy bed." He arose immediately. And all that dwelt of Lydda and Saron saw him, and turned to the Lord. At Joppa, near Lydda, there lived a woman named Dorcas, a worthy disciple of Jesus. Her life was filled with acts of kindness. She knew who needed comfortable clothing and who needed sympathy, and she freely ministered to the poor and sorrowful. Her skillful fingers were more active than her tongue. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Hearing that Peter was at Lydda, the believers sent messengers to him, desiring him that he would not delay to come. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made, while she was with them. The apostle's heart was touched with sympathy. Then, directing that the weeping friends be sent from the room, he kneeled down and prayed God to restore Dorcas to life. Turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. God saw fit to bring her back from the land of the enemy, that her skill and energy might still be a blessing to others. While Peter was still at Joppa, he was called by God to take the gospel to Cornelius in Caesarea. This Roman centurion was a man of noble birth, and his position was one of honor. Through the Jews he had gained a knowledge of God and worshipped him with a true heart. He was known far and near for his beneficence and righteous life. The inspired record describes him as a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God alway. He had erected the altar of God in his home, for he dared not attempt to carry out his plans or to bear his responsibilities without the help of God. Though Cornelius believed the prophecies, he had no knowledge of the gospel as revealed in the life and death of Christ. But the same holy watcher who said of Abraham, "I know him," knew Cornelius and sent a message direct from heaven to him. The angel appeared to him while he was at prayer. As the centurion heard himself addressed by name, he said, "What is it, Lord?" The angel answered, "Send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." Even the occupation of the man with whom Peter was staying was named. Heaven is acquainted with the history and business of men, with the experience and work of the humble laborer as well as with that of the king on his throne. Frail, tempted humans are the messengers. The angel was not commissioned to tell Cornelius the story of the cross. A man subject to human frailties and temptations was to tell him of the crucified and risen Savior. As his representatives, God does not choose angels, but human beings, men of like passions with those they seek to save. Christ took humanity that he might reach humanity. A divine human Savior was needed to bring salvation to the world. And to men and women has been committed the sacred trust of making known the unsearchable riches of Christ. The Lord brings those who are seeking for truth into touch with fellow beings who know the truth. Those who have received light are to impart it to those in darkness. Humanity is made the working agency through which the gospel exercises its transforming power. Cornelius was gladly obedient. When the angel had gone, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually, and when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. After his interview with Cornelius, the angel went to Peter. At the time, he was praying on the housetop of his lodging, and became very hungry, and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. It was not for physical food alone that Peter hungered, he hungered for the salvation of his countrymen. He had an intense desire to point out to them the prophecies relating to Christ. In the vision, Peter saw a great sheet, In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. RSV. This vision revealed to Peter the purpose of God, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with the Jews to the blessings of salvation. As yet none of the disciples had preached the gospel to Gentiles. In their minds the Gentiles were excluded from the blessings of the gospel. Now the Lord was seeking to teach Peter the worldwide extent of the divine plan. Many Gentiles had listened to the preaching of Peter and the other apostles, and many Greek Jews had become believers in Christ, but the conversion of Cornelius was to be the first of importance among Gentiles. The door that many Jewish converts had closed against Gentiles was now to be thrown open. Gentiles who accepted the gospel were to be equal with Jewish disciples, without the necessity of circumcision. How carefully the Lord worked to overcome the prejudice in Peter's mind. By the vision he sought to teach that in heaven there is no respect of persons. Through Christ the heathen may be made partakers of the privileges of the gospel. While Peter was meditating on the vision, the men sent from Cornelius arrived and stood before his lodging house. Then the Spirit said to him, "Three men are looking for you. Rise and go down, and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." RSV. Peter finds this a trying command. It was with reluctance that Peter undertook the duty laid on him, but he dared not disobey. He went down and said, "I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come?" They told him, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee." In obedience to God, on the following morning the apostle set out, accompanied by six of his brethren. These were to be witnesses of all that he should say or do, for Peter knew he would be called to account for so direct a violation of Jewish teachings. As Peter entered the house of the Gentile, Cornelius saluted him as one honored of heaven. Overwhelmed with reverence for the one sent by God to teach him, he fell at the apostles' feet and worshipped him. Peter was horror-stricken and lifted the centurion up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." To the large company of Cornelius's kinsmen and near friends Peter said, "Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a Jew to keep company, or come, unto one of another nation, but God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me?" Cornelius then related his experience, saying in conclusion, "We are all here present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Peter said, "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him, and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him." Then to that company of attentive hearers the apostle preached Christ. As Peter pointed those present to him as the sinner's only hope, he himself understood more fully the vision he had seen, and his heart glowed with the spirit of the truth he was presenting. Suddenly, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues, and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Thus was the gospel brought to those who had been strangers and foreigners, making them members of the household of God. From the household of Cornelius a widespread work of grace was carried on in that heathen city. Today there are many like Cornelius whom the Lord desires to connect with His work. Their sympathies are with the Lord's people, but the ties that bind them to the world hold them firmly. Special efforts should be made for these souls. God calls for earnest, humble workers who will carry the gospel to the higher class. The greatest men of this earth are not beyond the power of a wonder-working God. If workers will do their duty, God will convert men who occupy responsible positions, men of intellect and influence. Converted, they will have a special burden for other souls of this neglected class. Time and money will be consecrated to the work, and new efficiency and power will be added to the church. Many in the world are nearer the kingdom than we suppose. Everywhere are those who will take their stand for Christ. Constrained by love, they will constrain others to come to Him. Peter lays the matter before his associates. When the brethren in Judea heard that Peter had preached to Gentiles, they were surprised and offended. When they next saw Peter, they met him with severe censure, "Thou wentest into men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them." Peter related his experience, the vision, the command to go to the Gentiles, the coming of the messengers, his journey to Caesarea, and the meeting with Cornelius. He recounted his interview with the centurion, who had told him of the vision by which he had been directed to send for Peter. "As I began to speak," he said, "the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that He said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost.' Forasmuch then as God gave them the like gift as He did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I, that I could withstand God?" The brethren were silenced, convinced that their prejudice and exclusiveness were utterly contrary to the gospel. They said, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Thus, prejudice was broken down, exclusiveness was abandoned, and the way was opened for the gospel to be proclaimed to the Gentiles.